Welcome to another episode of the End Zone Podcast here. It is now Friday, one day, 2 days, actually, before the conclusion of the regular season of the 2021 NFL season. And today we wanted to look over some playoff scenarios here and maybe take a look ahead to the playoffs that are coming up next weekend, actually. So with that in mind, we brought on Mike Herndon, formerly of BroadwaySportsMedia.com, but he's still a real good follow on Twitter, giving you some real detailed Titans stuff throughout the season. So, Mike, how are you today, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's 20 degrees outside on the ground, and I'm freezing. But, you know, it's not all bad, so I guess that's one thing. Eric, how are you today, man?
I'm good. I appreciate you hosting this. I had a little bit of a work emergency this morning, so I was not able to get this set up super quick. So I'm glad that we got this. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to come on with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, where are we starting, Trey?
Yeah, with all that, you know, all the formalities out the way, we're going to do a little bit of an exercise here for today's episode where we're going to go a little bit around the horn, all three of us, and we're going to give out three playoff teams that each fascinate us, you know, that we each have some sort of interest in heading into the playoffs. And it's an interesting discussion because the playoff field this year is about as rugged and jagged as a messy toddler's room. It's insane. It's jagged. It's a mess. It's a complete mess. So I want to start off with Eric here. He has a couple playoff teams that he wants to, you know, get some interesting thoughts of his own off about. So, Eric, what's your first team, your first playoff team that you're fascinated about as we chug towards the start of the playoffs here?
Yeah, I want to start with the Cowboys, as I normally do. I like, you know, I found myself more and more liking the Cowboys this year as the season went along and have just watched so much of them. Mr. Herndon, to fill you in here, we have gone back and forth a lot on the Cowboys this year. I've been very high on them since the beginning of the year. I believe I had them as my Super Bowl pick to start the year. And they're just a fascinating team to watch because of the quarterback play right now, which is something I didn't think we'd have to be addressing this late into the season, but Dak Prescott has been so inconsistent over the past few weeks. It's been really interesting to watch. He goes out and, of course, has that huge game against the Washington football team, really controls it, has almost 300 yards by halftime, you know, is just tearing up this really poor Washington secondary. And then against the Cardinals, he missed a lot of throws. He did not look as solid as he had the week before. And I just think it's a total mystery what the Cowboys get from him as they go into the playoffs. And that's not a great thing because the rest of this roster is supremely talented. The defense is playing really good football right now. And even though the Cardinals were able to move the ball, you know, I thought the Dallas defense still played a very good game and kept things close and kept Dallas in that game when the offense had to punt a lot. So I'm just curious as to what you guys think. I don't know quite what to make of Dak Prescott right now. You know, I think his ceiling is very high. I think he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL when he's playing his best, but I think the downs put him kind of in the 6-10 ratio of where we rank quarterbacks at the end of the year. And I just don't know what to think right now of Dak Prescott and the way he's playing and what that means for the Cowboys outlook. I just think they're kind of a mystery right now because of the inconsistency they're getting at signal caller.
Yeah, see, I know I was low on the Cowboys in the offseason. I've been low on them throughout the year. There's no regarding or no dismissing the talent that they have. They're talented on both sides of the ball, you know, and even offensively, they're still one of the most talented offenses in the league, you know, with Michael Gallup now for the season. But Mike McCarthy terrifies me. That guy terrifies me. It's been a running sort of thought with Mike McCarthy throughout the year that Mike McCarthy is a coach that's being carried by high tier talent at this point right now. And his responsibilities aren't all that great, I guess. He isn't some sort of play caller. He isn't some sort of whatever. He doesn't have any sort of overly bearing responsibilities as the head coach of this football team. But Mike McCarthy scares me. So, and maybe it's PTSD from his last couple years in Green Bay. I just have this feeling that some way, somehow, Mike McCarthy is really going to screw this up. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic or be overly joking here. I'm truly terrified of Mike McCarthy coaching this football team. Now, if the talent can carry him and play up to their standard and Kellen Moore doesn't get in his way or get in his own way a little bit, then I think the Cowboys might be fine. But there's this weird aura around Mike McCarthy that just terrifies me at this point. Mike, am I being just weird, or does Mike McCarthy sort of give you this weird vibe?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan. I think he's he's just kind of seems like out of date, just in general, and not just like schematically, but just the way he connects with his players. I thought watching Hard Knocks this season, it was like, this guy's got like a Austin Powers reference going on, and I'm like, that Austin Powers hasn't really been relevant in a long, long time. But he's I don't know, he's just an odd dude, and honestly, I think if you look at the Cowboys season and the way it's gone, they haven't really beaten a good team in a long time. They've feasted on, teams like the Falcons, the Washington football team, the Giants, these trash cans in their division. They've beaten up on those teams for sure. But then, they turn around, they lose to the Raiders. They lose to the Cardinals, who I don't think are very good right now either. They lose to the Broncos, got manhandled by the Broncos. So I think they're really a Jekyll and Hyde team. They kind of, anything is possible anytime that the Cowboys step on the field. And I struggle to see them stringing together four consecutive wins to be able to actually win a Super Bowl. In fact, I have a hard time seeing them getting out of the NFC at all. So, could they win a game? Absolutely. They could beat anybody in the playoffs if they're on their game, but I don't think they're consistent enough to be able to actually string enough together to win anything meaningful in the postseason.
Yeah. And even so though, Mike, I just feel like it wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden we got to the playoffs and Dak Prescott hit another gear and, turned it on and played maybe not four. I think winning might be a little bit hard for this game, but at least getting to the NFC championship game. I think that's a reasonable expectation for the Cowboys. I think that they can make it there, although there are a ton of really good, dangerous teams in the NFC right now. Why don't you tell us about the team you want to talk about here, your first team here?
So I'll start with the Bengals, who obviously are coming off a huge win over the Chiefs that clinched them their first division title in several years here. And they've got an incredibly fun team, I think, overall with Joe Burrow as an ascendant quarterback and obviously the weapons all over the place on offense with Jamar Chase, who should be rookie of the year in my opinion, or offensive rookie of the year, I guess, and then T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and it's just kind of an embarrassment of riches, Joe Mixon on that side of the ball. But they're also kind of fascinating because it's kind of like the Cowboys, they've been very up and down. They've won some impressive games, and even they've gotten an impressive loss, I think, in when they went into overtime with the Packers early in the season and played them as well as anybody has played them basically all year outside of the games where Rodgers has been out. So I think there's certainly been moments that you look at the Bengals and you say, yeah, this team could beat anybody, but they've got moments too. And I think their defense is a little bit suspect overall. They've got Trey Hendrickson's playing great football. They've got a pretty good secondary overall. But you know, I think their offense actually may be a little bit overhyped in general, because they have these huge outbursts and everybody sees the amazing plays, the highlight plays, which they are full of. But from a down in, down out basis, I think they're really kind of mediocre offensively. And it's kind of the offensive line isn't there. They really can't run the ball very well. They can't pass protect for Burrow. So Burrow is really kind of left either making magic happen on his own, or, you know, throwing up these one-on-one shot balls down the sidelines to Higgins and Chase, which, you know, hey, those guys can make it stick more often than just about any wide receiver pair in the NFL right now. But that's still a high variance play, right? That is relying on your guy to go make a play over somebody else and hoping that it either doesn't get picked, or, you know, it's just a low percentage play in general, even if you do have elite guys out there. So I think the Bengals offensively a little bit overrated, but like we saw against the Chiefs, put them in the right game, the right matchup, you know, they can go toe to toe with anybody. So I'm really interested and excited to see what Joe Burrow looks like in the playoffs, what these stars can do, whether they can hold up against some of the better defenses in the league. Because I was going through DVOA today, looking at some stuff, and the Titans, who I'll talk about in a little bit, their offense has somehow played 9 of their 16 games against top 10 defenses in the NFL. And the Titans defense is a top 10 defense by DVOA. So they've managed to play all of the other top 10 defenses besides the Cowboys this season. And if you look at the Bengals, they've only played one. They've played one top 10 defense as the 49ers, and they lost that game. They're going to see tougher defenses in the playoffs. You know, obviously the Patriots are an elite defense. The Titans are a top 10 defense. The Colts are a really good defense. So that AFC is going to be a lot tougher for them than what most of their regular season schedule has been. So I'm interested to see how all that plays out for them in the playoffs.
I just want to respond to something you said about their pass protection in Cincinnati. I would give that another look. I think that they've been fairly excellent over the past few weeks. Chris Jones was practically erased from the game plan when they played the Chiefs Sunday. I mean, they have protected Burrow extremely well, and it helps that Burrow gets the ball out quickly, but it is not like last year when he's taking a sack on every play and there's always someone in his face. That's just not the way the Bengals season has gone. I think their pass protection's a little bit better than what you're giving them credit for. Yeah, sure, it doesn't have Penei Sewell, but it's an average line, and it's done enough to keep Joe Burrow upright and able to make plays with his legs and use his arm to deliver the ball quickly and make quick decisions. And I think that's the best part of Joe Burrow's game. To me, the player I see the most when I look at Joe Burrow is Aaron Rodgers. Like, they are incredibly confident within the pocket. They can use their legs to give themselves more time, and they throw the ball incredibly quickly. Joe Burrow does not hold the ball. He has one of the quickest release times in the NFL this season. All that being said, you can play around maybe not the greatest offensive line in the world, but to think that that's some major weakness for them, I think is I would disagree with that point personally.
I mean, he has been sacked 51 times, which is most in the NFL by 5. Tannehill's actually second with 46. So he's gone down a bunch. I feel like he does help them out by getting the ball out quickly, but I feel like that is something that if teams are going to be able to press up, and obviously you get into the postseason, refs tend to let things go a little bit more as far as back end, let players play a little bit more physically. It'll be interesting to see how that holds up if he does have to hold on to the ball a little bit longer than he did in the regular season.
Yeah,
you bring up good points about that. Maybe you know, it's cool to get hyped up on the Bengals, you know, because of the offense and because of the talent that they have offensively. Maybe the only thing that I would worry about consistency wise and maybe reliability wise is probably the defense. I mean, like Mike said, the secondary is nice. The defensive front has some talent, has some names, has Hendrickson, Larry Ogunjobi is a good one. Linebacking core is maybe a little bit suspect, but I'm not too familiar with that linebacking core. So maybe that defense is the one thing I would be seriously concerned about, because it's not, an overly the top good unit, but it's not a horrible unit either. So maybe they sit on the means of average. So we'll see what that defense can do as the playoffs approach. I guess we'll move on to me here then. I have three teams, and one of the teams that I'm going to talk about now is actually maybe not the most sexy playoff team, but they've come on a little bit strong late in the season. They've been a pleasant surprise, the Philadelphia Eagles. I think we can all agree that the Philadelphia Eagles are probably going to be a one and done in the playoffs. There's just too many inconsistencies on both sides of the ball, especially offensively. But the NFL is always fun when the Eagles are in the playoffs and when the Eagles are doing well. Might not be the same mindset for Cowboys, Giants, and Washington football team fans. But me personally, the football is fun. The playoffs are more fun when the Eagles are in there. Because Philly fans, they intrigue me. I love watching Philly fans melt down. And at the same time, I love watching them have fun. because Philly is an insane sports city. But with the Eagles, I think the main thing we can talk about there is their run game. I think the change that Nick Sirianni made, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that, it's the change that he made towards the middle part of the season when he started employing more of a run game. He started incorporating more Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders in the run game, and it really paid dividends for the Eagles, because earlier on in the year, the Eagles were a team that really tried to throw a ball a little bit more, and they have some weapons. Devontae Smith is a really good receiver, not just a straight downfield threat. Dallas Goedert is a good weapon in the passing game. But it just didn't really work, for the Eagles, and it was kind of somewhat surprising. Since they have a decent maybe offensive line in the scheme, maybe you would, on the broader spectrum, you would see that Nick Sirianni came from a Frank Reich sort of scheme that employs a run game but also employs a nice play action game and a nice quarterback friendly passing game, so the quarterback doesn't have to run into any sort of crazy struggles in the passing game. So, but that change, employing more to a run game, has really paid dividends for the Eagles. And maybe I'm somewhat excited to see them in the playoffs. Won't be too excited when they probably get blown out by Tampa Bay, but I think they'll be a fun team to watch in the playoffs. Who knows though? Their rushing attack has me a little bit intrigued though.
Yeah, I think the one thing I tend to fall back on when talking about these playoff teams is, do you have an identity? And they definitely do. They are a team that's going to run the ball extremely effectively and play really good defense. They've had a great defense over the past month, and I know it's been against mostly NFC East teams. And would I pick them to win against the Buccaneers? No, but I think they aren't going to get blown out. Let's just make that clear. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to play whoever they play in the playoffs extremely close. It's going to be an ugly game, and whoever wins that game is going to come out of that and say, man, that was a major win for us because we had to survive kind of this ugly game to make our championship run, basically. That's how I view the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles have surprised me about as much as any team in the league this year, because I was so down on them early in the year. I thought they were terrible. And they've gotten better as the year's gone on. I mean, they've definitely changed the way that they approach the game. And like you said, they pivoted more of, hey, we're going to run the football. We're going to lean on this offensive line and our defense. And that's a formula that we've seen be successful in the playoffs before. So I do think they're going to be a tougher out for whoever they do face than maybe some people think, because I think that's a tough team. I think they've got great leadership there still. I think it's a proud team. The guts of that Super Bowl team are still there. The Jason Kelseys, the Fletcher Coxes, those guys are still in that locker room. And I think there's a lot of pride there. And yeah, I don't think that they're going to be a walkover. I've been very impressed with how they've come on it towards the back half of the season.
Yeah, and just to make a little side note, I know maybe the stat might not be some maybe, maybe the first stat others look towards for to gauge rushing success. But out of all the teams this year, the Eagles have ran for the most yards, in terms of running the football. They've ran for over 2,500 yards this year, which is – I didn't really expect that at all. So really good job by the Eagles finding out what they're good at and just leaning on it and finding themselves in the playoffs, which, like we alluded to, nobody expected out of them. So good on them. Eric, you want to dish out your second team, man?
Yeah. My second team is the Cardinals. I'm proud to say that, Trey, I've made this executive decision for the podcast. We are the number one, and Michael, you are our honored guest to hear this announcement. We are the number one Cliff Kingsbury career arc tracking podcast. We have focused so intensely on this guy for basically his entire career in the NFL, from when he came in to year one to year two to now year three. And I think what I saw Sunday from Cliff Kingsbury was real growth as a coach, real growth. The way he managed that game, especially down the stretch, time management wise, was great. I know people, they got lucky with the fumble that wasn't able to be recovered, but that comes down to great game management from Cliff Kingsbury, knowing that that's going to be a play that the Cowboys want to get a timeout on and getting to the line quickly. And sure, Mike McCarthy screws it up and doesn't call the timeout or, and doesn't have any timeouts at that moment. But I think that you also need to give a little bit of credit to Cliff Kingsbury for the way he managed the back half of that game and was able to get the win for the Cardinals. And the offense looked good. They've gotten a ton of contributions from guys that aren't named DeAndre Hopkins, as I pull up the box score here really, really quick. Kyler Murray did his thing with his legs throughout the game. When they needed first downs, they most of the day got them from his legs. And I thought that was impressive and something that I liked to see, because sometimes he overutilizes his legs, but here I thought it was he picked his spots well. And then you get receiving days from guys like Antoine Wesley, who come out of nowhere and suddenly put up, 5 for 30 and has two huge touchdown catches. And then you have Christian Kirk getting in on the action and AJ Green. And then you think, well, if they make it to the divisional round, they'll probably have DeAndre Hopkins back by then. And at that point, I think the Cardinals are a really dangerous team to play. Do I think they're a Super Bowl team? No, I still think that they're maybe a year away from that. I think they need some playoff experience, and this is going to provide them that. But I think this is a team that we'll be talking about on divisional round weekend, and a team that'll provide some pretty entertaining playoff games.
Yeah. I'll say it in the most respectful way possible. Like Eric alluded to, throughout, my time on this podcast, me and Eric have absolutely murdered the relevancy of Cliff Kingsbury. And it's not to be mean or anything. It's just that Cliff Kingsbury, and I think this started really towards the back end of his second year with the Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury has shown the most hilarious ability to choke away some of the most important moments of the season. Last year, I believe it was a loss against the really bad 49ers. It was some weird game. I think it was on Amazon. Nobody watched it. Nobody cared. But the people that did care enough watched the game and saw that offense, that team completely collapse in the middle of that team's first playoff run, or journey towards a playoff run since 15, 16, maybe. It was insane. I won't say it was hilarious, but it was somewhat hilarious because we heard all the preachings and all the praises of Cliff Kingsbury, saying he was the new god of the NFC West, and how him and Kyler Murray was going to partner up to shred up the entire league, which they did this year, but that was before anything happened this year. But so it was just odd to watch that sort of collapse for the Cardinals that seemingly looked like they were heading towards a wild card spot. Now he's gotten better. Like Eric said, that Cowboys game, he was good. It showed growth, real growth as an NFL coach. You know, I would have liked it to happen last year, but you know, better late than never, right? So I don't know. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, that's just one piece of the puzzle that still has some sort of oddity and some sort of mystery surrounding it. But for the team as a whole, I mean, they still need to get DeAndre Hopkins back. I mean, their run game, James Connors, you know, he's been a pleasant surprise, which has been a touchdown machine, you know, not just in the run game, in the pass game. I mean, it's just the Cardinals are weird to me. I don't really know what to gauge from the Cardinals. Are they the Cardinals that were starting off undefeated and blowing up the league in the first half of the season? Are they really the Cardinals that blew up maybe someone in the second half of the season do a little because of injuries and because of just weird slip-ups that they've had? I don't know. The Cardinals are a weird team to me. Maybe we'll likely gauge and see what they really are when the playoffs start. But I don't know. I just don't really know what the Cardinals are at this point.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that they're going to go anywhere without Hopkins, because he just changes that offense so much for them. And the defense is really good. I mean, the defense could steal a game for them, I suppose. But I don't see any way that they're going to be able to hang with the rest of the elite teams in the NFC without their best player. It's just really, really tough to do.
The one thing going in the Cardinals' favor is the likely playoff matchup is the Cowboys. If the Cardinals catch the Cowboys again, I think the Cardinals can do it twice. I think they can be. I think they can beat the Cowboys in round one. If you catch the Cowboys in round one, you're going to have a shot. And I think they'll have certainly a shot, but wouldn't shock me if they lost too.
You know, especially if they get Hopkins back. If they get Hopkins back, I think the Cardinals win that, honestly. Mike, do you have a second team in?
Yeah, so I'll save the Titans for last, but the other team I was
going to talk about. Why don't we just get the Titans out of the way now?
All right. We can throw the Titans in now. All right, so the Titans have been one of the most interesting teams of the year, obviously. They started off okay, and then started to turn it on, and right as they were kind of cresting mid-season, Derrick Henry gets hurt, out for the year. And of course now he's set to potentially come back. But they did an admirable job of kind of keeping things together during the time that Henry was out. They went 5-3 without him, including wins over the Rams. The Saints were just so-so really at that point. And then, but then they also did beat the Niners and the Dolphins over the last 2 weeks. And if you look at their season, really, it kind of overall, the story is very simple. When they don't turn the ball over three or more times, which is an absolutely ridiculous number of turnovers to have in a game, if they don't turn the ball over three or more times, they're really tough to beat. They're 10-1 when they don't have three or more turnovers. They are 1-4 when they do. So it's very clear that taking care of the football, if they do take care of the football, they're a very difficult team to beat. The defense has become a strength, which is something that I don't think anybody going into the season really expected. It was the hope was kind of that, all right, well, maybe the defense can get to be mediocre, and that would be good enough with a really good offense to get them into contention. It's really kind of flipped. The defense has been elite. Especially recently when they've been allowing 50 yards per game on the ground over the last 4 weeks to their opponents. Teams just do not run on them. They're the second ranked run defense in the entire NFL, and the pass rush has come on as well, particularly lately. They're getting after the passer. They've got Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Harold Landry, Bud Dupree. They can get to the quarterback with four against almost anybody at this point. They're very consistent rushing the passer. And even the back end is really started to play well. And the two safeties are really good. But then Christian Fulton, since he's been healthy, been really good at corner, really stepping up in year two. And then Jackrabbit Jenkins has been great since week seven. He had a terrible start to the year, but he's come on lately, had played his best two games the last 2 weeks, and it's kind of peaking at the right time. So it's a very interesting team when you look at it, because they've managed to hold serve with the defense, and now the offensive pieces are coming back. You know, AJ Brown has been back the last two games, and he's a huge part of this team. The records with and without AJ Brown are it's an incredible split. It's you, if you look at both points per game and record, there's an argument to be made, and I think it's true, that AJ Brown is more important to the Titans offense than Derrick Henry. And Henry is also coming back for the playoffs. Julio is actually going to be healthy heading into the playoffs, assuming nothing happens in week 18 against the Texans. And they could get all of this lined up and have the bye in the first round if they can just take care of Houston this week. So, I mean, honestly, this team with the talent that they have, when everybody's together, and this is the fascinating part about this, they've played 90 players this year, most in NFL history, cycling through the roster, mostly because they've had an incredible amount of injuries. But they've managed to get all 22 starters on offense and defense to the point where, assuming nothing happens in the Texans game, they'll have all 22 of their first choice starters available for the first round of the playoffs, which is something that's pretty rare in the NFL in general, and definitely rare for a team that has struggled with injuries as much as the Titans have this year. So, you know, the question becomes, can they get Henry and Julio specifically involved in the offense and really have that thing clicking on all cylinders that quickly? Because Julio's been in and out so much, he's barely been involved really since early in the season. And Henry's missed since week eight, or week nine. Yeah, week eight was when he got hurt. So can they get those guys clicking with the rest of the offense and really have that unit elevate to match the defense? That's really the question. But I think getting the bye and getting rested for a team that plays as physical as the Titans do is a huge deal. And look, nobody's going to want to play this team in the postseason. Like they push you around on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They are not any fun to play against, you know, for a worn down team coming off of a playoff game, coming off of a long regular season. I think getting the bye is really critical for the Titans. They have got to win this game. They've got to get that bye, get rested, get Henry an extra week. And go into the playoffs with a little bit of an advantage. And you also got to go back to the old record for Vrabel coming off of a bye or the Thursday night mini bye. He's 8-0, and the average margin of victory is 18 points. They blow teams out coming off of byes historically. So if they can get that into the playoffs, I think they have as good a chance as anybody is showing up in the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I really do. I think them and the Chiefs are the teams to beat in the AFC.
Yeah, so I went back and watched like four Titans games because I, over the past month, because I have fallen behind on my game passing tray, and I wanted to come in. And here were my takeaways, Mike. You're absolutely right. I think that defensive line might just be the best in the AFC. People talk about Jeffrey Simmons and all that, but I mean, Harold Landry, that guy is a player. Harold Landry has played absolutely spectacular, had a great game against the Dolphins this week. And, you know, but one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, you talk about, you know, the importance of Derrick Henry. And I'm not saying, I don't want this to come off like I think Derrick Henry is not good. He's obviously a really important player and need help. But my question to you is, do they really need Derrick Henry to make a run to the AFC championship game? I don't think so. They have run the ball so well over the past month without him. Like, they're putting up almost 200 yards a game right now. Like, that does not spell you need Derrick Henry. That is spells you have an incredibly deep running back room and a really good run blocking offensive line. To me, I for the people saying they need Derrick Henry to go back on a run, I don't think that's true. I really don't. I think if AJ Brown is there, and here's a big thing, Julio has got to like give you at least 3 or 4 catches a game. He is non-existent right now. Like, yep. He has got to give you 3 or 4 catches a game. And you have got to figure out a third receiver to go to and use your tight ends more. Anthony Firkser had a great game on Sunday. But if you can do all those things, if your receiving talent can step up just a little bit, I don't think you need there.
And I actually kind of agree with that. I think they don't have to have Derrick Henry to contend, but I do think Derrick Henry is a really nice cherry to put on top.
Oh, yeah, of course. No doubt.
Because the one difference between what they've gotten out of Deontay Foreman, who's been spectacular for them as a fill-in and really, I think, deserves to be a starter in the NFL. But what they've gotten out of him, the one thing they haven't gotten is the explosive runs. Like, he gets some chunk runs. He gets the 10 to 20 yard runs, stuff like that. But the big long runs, which, you know, it's extremely rare for, you know, the NFL to really produce a ton of explosive runs, just because that's not the way it's built at this point. But, you know, Jonathan Taylor does it for Indy. Derrick Henry can do that for the Titans. And for an offense that struggled with explosive plays all year, I think turning those 20 yard runs into 60 yard touchdowns, I think would make a difference for them. Now, as you said, I think they could go all the way without him. I really do, which is saying something. But it's I do think he could be a huge deal. And look, his numbers, there's that graphic that I think Good Morning Football had this week of Titans running back production with Derrick Henry the first 8 weeks and then without him the last 8 weeks. And it's almost identical, right? The part that does not fully convey is Derrick Henry throughout his entire career, and especially during the 4 years under Vrabel, has gotten stronger as the year goes on. His November, December splits are entirely different from his September, October splits. And I think there's a few reasons for that. I think one, the Titans offensive line typically gets better as the year goes on. And I think that's a coaching thing. I think they do a good job of getting those guys, you know, into rhythm and figuring out ways to make things work. So I think that's a coaching thing, but I also think defenses get tired. They lose a step. They may not be as enthusiastic about stepping in front of a 250 pound freight train in December as they are in September. And then I think it's Derrick Henry just never slows down. I mean, his conditioning is unmatched in the NFL as far as running backs go. And really as far as any player goes, frankly, for my opinion. And I think defenses slow down and Derrick Henry doesn't. And that's why we see those gigantic differences between what he does in December and what he does in September. And the scary thing for the rest of the AFC should be, if Derrick Henry is right and is 100% on that foot. And that's a big question, right? I mean, there's no guarantee that that's going to be the case, but if he is, and he's fresh coming in, and all these defenses have played, you know, 10, 12 weeks in a row of NFL football, that split between his ability to hit the gas and their ability to hit the gas will probably have never been bigger. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he performs in the playoffs, how much they ride him, everything like that. Because, you know, I don't think they have to have him, but I do think he is potentially – I could see him going off to like a nuclear level in the playoffs. I could absolutely see that happening.
Yeah, and all is said about Derrick Henry, the defense was playing well, and like you both alluded to, the running game has been really good. without Derrick Henry over the past month and a half or so. But I think the one thing that might concern me about the Titans, you know, and there's not really a lot of things to be concerned with this team at this point in time, but you alluded to it, Mike, the explosive element within this offense. I mean, when Derrick Henry was healthy, I don't think this offense really had too much of an explosive element. And that can be alluded to the offensive line not giving enough pass protection on these long developing pass plays, and maybe this team not having a true deep threat, because the best deep threat on this team right now is, you know, it's either AJ Brown or Julio Jones, and you can't send those guys on deep routes time and time again throughout the game. You need them fresh and ready to get on the regular routes that they run, you know, but I think that's just the one thing that really concerns me, you know, with this team, is that the lack of explosiveness offensively. We saw maybe what this offense could be explosive wise, or, you know, explosive wise week two against Seattle, when Julio Jones was really, really good in that game. He caught a deep pass, you know, I think that was, you know, it was, like I said, I think that's probably what this offense can really be, with they have some sort of deep passing threat. Granted that, like I said, having Julio Jones maybe as your best deep threat isn't really the best sort of option, because, you know, he's maybe not as, you know, explosive as he once was, and he has hammy problems. So, but not having some sort of explosive element within his offense can somewhat concern me, because you can't lean on this run game all the time. I mean, as tempting as it might sound, the best way to score points probably is, you know, of course, getting long drives and such, but having that explosive element within your offense can really unlock your offense and take it to another level. So if they can maybe find some sort of way to sort of, you know, consistently produce some sort of explosive plays within this offense, then I'd feel a lot more comfortable about this offense. But right now they don't really have that sort of explosive element within the offense. So I mean, maybe we can see that figured out. Maybe, you know, with Julio Jones being healthy and maybe giving some sort of repeat sort of performance like he had in Seattle in week two. But right now, I just don't really see, you know, I can't really pinpoint any player on this team offensively right now that can give you some sort of consistent deep threat, you know, or a player that doesn't have a specified role as a deep threat, because the wide receiver depth beyond AJ Brown and Julio Jones is kind of weird. It's kind of poor at this point. So,
yeah,
I think that's really where I'm sort of coming from in terms of concerns about this offense at this point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina can give you something. Like, you know, yeah, they can do something for you every now and then, but they're not going to be a wide receiver too. Like, that's mm-hmm. just not where their skill set is. And that's exactly it. I think they do need Julio to do something. And they don't have to have him be their wide receiver one. I mean, that's going to be A.J. Brown. I think at this point we know A.J. Brown is the guy. But Julio needs to give them a moment or two in the playoffs, and needs to make some big plays and at least give defenses something else to think about besides AJ Brown mm-hmm. and Derrick Henry. So if he can do that, yeah, I think they'll be in good shape. But we haven't seen that from Julio in so long that it's, mm-hmm. it's just almost hard to
expect it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you hope that maybe they've just been trying to keep him on ice as much as possible, but who knows.
Yeah, unfortunately you kind of saw this coming, though, with just the trajectory of Julio's career up to that point. I still have no idea why they gave up a second round pick for him. I think that was way too rich, especially considering he hasn't played a full season in what, like 6 years now. It is incredibly disappointing how he has not been a factor for the Titans this year, really.
Yeah. Guess we're done with the Titans now. That was probably the longest discussion that we had throughout this entire podcast. So we can move on to the second team, so we can round up this second sort of portion of what we're doing today. My second team is the Rams. Here's the deal. I like the Rams, and I like their potential that they have on both sides of the ball. I mean, their defense, it hasn't been suffocating, or as suffocating as it was last year, but it's still been a relatively good unit. Offensively, it's weird with the Rams because I think going back to when the Rams played the Titans, the Rams ran into a little bit of a problem where they got a little bit too pass happy and their offensive line suffered and they couldn't get their run game going and the offense just simply fell apart. And I think that's sort of the Achilles heel with the Rams at this point in time is that maybe that can they can get a little too pass happy and it can sort of disrupt things overall for the offense as a whole. So, but if they can get their run game going and they can build off that with play action and really take the top off the defense now that they have an extra deep threat with Odell Beckham Jr., then I think the Rams will probably be a sneaky Super Bowl pick, you know. And that's weird to say considering the Rams were the talk of the town and everybody were deeming them as the NFC's new king after they got Matthew Stafford. And, you know, they've gone through some ups and downs, you know, since that point in time. But I think the Rams could be a really sneaky good Super Bowl pick, you know, coming out of the NFC. They have the pieces. They have the talent. The coaching staff, although it has its inconsistencies at times, you know, when they're on, they're doing things the right way. All things are clicking. It's a, maybe somewhat like a juggernaut, you know. So I'm liking the Rams at this point. But I have to see them be a little bit more consistent in a couple of key areas before I can really jump all in with them, you know.
Yeah, so one thing that I find interesting, you said the coaching staff isn't always on. I disagree with that. This is the issue here is Matthew Stafford. Like, he's going to give you some games and some throws that you're like, what are you doing, dude? He has missed a lot of open throws this year. He has been up and down, but the Ravens win was so important because that was not a perfect Matthew Stafford game.
It wasn't.
They needed to be able to show that they could win against good competition without a perfect Matthew Stafford game, and they showed they could do that. And if the defense gets going and the offense can do just enough and Matthew Stafford can make a few throws here and there down the stretch and put up, you know, a last-second touchdown, that's good for the Rams. But you're going to have to survive Matthew Stafford because this is just what he's always been. Spectacular top of the world throws that you're like, wow, that's a top five quarterback. And then moments where you're like, how is this guy like even in the top 10? Like that's sort of the Matthew Stafford experience. And the Lions never had the talent to overcome that, but it'll be interesting to see if the Rams do have that talent to make, you know, to make those Matthew Stafford boo-boos go away.
Yeah, I think the Rams are interesting. I could see them making a run if Stafford can kind of pull it together. Like you said, he's just such a high variance player that it's hard to trust him to win four consecutive games. And I know, like, you know, we keep talking about that, but that variance is kind of like, it's tough in the playoffs because that's what you need. You've got to have somebody who's consistent and not going to just lay an egg on you. And you know, there are teams, you know, and I think the Rams do have a good enough defense that they could win a game for you if Stafford does lay an egg, but you got to get it kind of like synced up, right? You can't have the defense just be okay and Stafford lays an egg. It's got to be one of the others got to be good. And the Rams are good. They're good enough to make it to the Super Bowl for sure. But I do think Stafford's been dealing with some injuries and stuff like that this year that is kind of made things worse, but that's true of him like every year. You know, he's always banged up. There's always something going on that he's nursing that, you know, is just kind of a chronic thing. So it's hard to trust him in the playoffs because we haven't seen it. I mean, he, you know, barely made appearances in the playoffs in Detroit. So we'll see kind of what he's like on that stage. I do think they miss Robert Woods a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what Cam Akers looks like coming back because that kind of gives them another playmaker on offense that they desperately need right now, I think, because obviously you've got Kupp, who's elite. You've got OBJ, who's, you know, shown some signs of being able to produce for them, but they really need kind of a third guy in that mix on offense. And if Akers can give them that, I think that definitely raises their ceiling.
Eric, do you want to go a little bit of rapid fire now that we're on the third team and maybe we're running a little bit long here?
Oh, yeah, sure. That sounds good to me. My My team was the Packers. The question began to formulate last year, and it is formulating again. And that question is, who's stopping Aaron Rodgers right now? Who's stopping Aaron Rodgers? Because no matter the offensive line difficulties, the Packers have slurs, like Loki had one of the worst offensive lines this year. The defense has lost a ton of players, but they're still playing at a really high level. And Aaron Rodgers is the hands down MVP. Like, who is going to stop this team? I guess that's just my question. The only name that pops into my head is Tom Brady. Like, he is the only obstacle to the Packers winning a Super Bowl. I truly believe that. Who is going to stop this team? I don't think the Bucs defense is nearly where it was last time they matched up. I don't think there's a defense in the NFC that's good enough. Maybe the Rams, but even when the Rams had their great defense last year, Aaron Rodgers tore them up in the playoffs. But I just wonder, again, who's stopping Aaron Rodgers? And that's really all I have to say about the Packers. I just think they're the best team in the NFL, hands down. And Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL, hands down. And when you have both those things working together, it's very hard to stop a team like that.
And I agree with you. I think they're the best team in the NFL right now. I think they're the Super Bowl favorite as things stand today. And part of the reason is they can do it multiple ways on offense too, right? Like Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are unbelievable, and Rodgers can make, you know, the rest of his receivers look pretty good too. But they can also run the ball down your throat. I mean, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon are one of the best, if not the best, running back tandems in the NFL. And Dillon particularly, I think, is going to be an absolute bear to handle in Lambeau Field, because the playoffs are going to go through Lambeau in the NFC, and you're going to have to tackle that dude. Especially if the Packers get up early, I think that you're just going to be able to see them wear on you. They've got a good offensive line. I think they can beat you so many ways offensively. Now, the one drawback I do have about the Packers is their defense, which has not played very well lately. Since week 11, they've given up 34, 28, 30, 30, 22, and 10, despite playing offenses that really aren't that great besides the Rams. They gave up 30 to Tyler Huntley, Tyler Huntley's played pretty well, but still, a playoff defense should be able to do better than that. They gave up 30 to the Bears and Justin Fields, which is not a good offense right now. And the only team they've really shut down is the Vikings last week, which was Sean Mannion quarterback Vikings. So I think they have some questions on defense. They're going to have to win some shootouts. But if they can just get enough out of their defense, that offense can take them the whole way. I mean, they don't have to shut people down. They just have to keep them in the 20s, because that offense is going to put up 30.
Yeah. The one thing about the Packers, though, and that defense, that they could be getting Jair Alexander back soon, which
that would be
huge. And they might, and I'm not sure if I haven't really been updated on the situation yet, but if they can get Za'Darius Smith back as well, I know he's been dealing with an injury since way early in the season, since I think maybe week two or three. They can get him back, and that defense becomes a bit of a challenge for teams to overcome at this point. Mike, what's your third team, man?
So my last team is the Patriots, which I did not see coming at all this year, especially when they decided to start Mac Jones. I thought it would take them longer to really be able to win at a high level with a rookie quarterback. Bill Belichick's Bill Belichick, but I didn't think it would come together this quickly. And it hasn't really been Mac Jones driven. I think he's a solid quarterback. Like, he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He's not going to get you beat. And I think that's almost exactly what this Patriots team needs, because they're so good at everything else. They can run the football really well. Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, good backs behind a really good offensive line. And then that defense has been unbelievable. Matthew Judon has been one of the guys that I missed the most on in free agency, because I was so anti Matthew Judon. I thought they overpaid for him a ton, because I thought he was, you know, he was a guy that got almost all of his pressures in Baltimore as kind of, you know, he would either be on a blitz, which is not, you know, necessarily the same as just lining up and beating a tackle over and over again, or cleanup sacks. He led the NFL in cleanup sacks over the last couple of years. So I thought a lot of his production was kind of a product of that Wink Martindale heavy blitz scheme in Baltimore, but I was wrong. He's really good. He's been excellent for them. JC Jackson is unbelievable. The Patriots continue to be able to just churn out corners out of nowhere. They traded away Stephon Gilmore in the middle of the year and haven't batted an eye. And that's the thing about the Patriots to me, is that this defense is really good. It's going to keep them in games. They're going to be a tough out. Like, you are going to have to beat the Patriots, because they will not beat themselves. Now, they can be beat, because I think the offense is just okay. Mac Jones and the wide receivers that he's throwing to, there's nothing special there, right? There's no special talent on that offense in the skill group. And that makes it tough for me to see them actually going all the way. But I think they're going to be a tough out every step of the way. Somebody is going to have to play good football to knock out the Patriots.
Yeah, I think the Patriots team this year sort of reminds me of the early 2000s Patriots teams, when they had a young Tom Brady. He wasn't insanely, you know, detailed and really good in terms of the intelligibles and everything when he was first starting for the Patriots. But he was successful because he had a really good defense to back him up. There was a run game as well to back him up, and there was a competent staff around him to where they wouldn't allow him to make too many mistakes. I think that's what this team, the 2021 Patriots, reminds me of. Now, I'm not saying Mac Jones is the next reincarnate of Tom Brady, not saying anything like that. But just the makeup of this team and the way they've played this season just reminds me of those early 2000s Patriots teams that really marked the start of that insane dynasty with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the rest of those guys. So I might be way off here. You know, there's certainly some coincidental similarities between those two teams, but these two teams, you know, 2021 Patriots and those early 2000s Patriots teams, just they feel so similar in a sense because of the makeup and everything that they got going for each other. Eric, am I off, or does that sound a little bit, am I hitting the mark a little here?
I don't know what to think about the Patriots. I just don't know. I just feel like if you say they're not going to do much, they'll prove you wrong. If you say they're going to win the Super Bowl, maybe you're thinking a little bit ahead of pace, but what they have is a great coach who has maximized the talent on the roster, and a young quarterback who makes good decisions, doesn't turn the ball over, and manages the game. And if you have that and a great defense, you can take out anyone in the NFL. And would it shock me if the Patriots were in the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Do I think that's going to happen? I wouldn't pick it. But if you're telling me a month from now we're talking about the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I would not disagree with you at all. I think that they are – we talked about high-variance players. They are a high-variance team. They could win it all. They could lose in the first round. Either option is possible. But they will not get embarrassed. They will be a competitive team, and people will come out of this season thinking, oh man, next year, look out. If they're aggressive and they spent like they spent this year, and they go out and they try to upgrade weapons around Mac Jones and get him another one receiver, look out. I think that they're reloading in New England.
Yeah. Watch out for the Patriots. This playoffs. I'm going to move on to my third team, and it's their most competitive AFC East counterpart. I want to talk about the Buffalo Bills here.
Okay.
Bills are a bit of a mixed bag. When they're on, Josh Allen is avoiding mistakes. He's playing really, really good football. He's elevating the talent around him. And he's seemingly carrying the run game that's been mostly non-existent for the Bills this season. And defensively, when they're on, they're a pretty good unit. They lost Tre'Davious White, which is big time loss for them. But I think they have the front to somewhat mask the loss that Tre'Davious White you know, you can't replace him entirely because he's just that good of a corner, that good of a player. But I think they have the front seven to really mask somewhat of the loss of Tre'Davious White. But when the Bills are off, I think they're probably one of the more disappointing teams I've ever seen. When they're off, Josh Allen is erratic, just throwing the football out of, you know, throwing the football everywhere and putting the football in harm's way, and they have to somewhat rely on the run game, which, like I said, has been mostly non-existent. Devin Singletary hasn't been all that great. Zach Moss really hasn't been all that great. So when the Bills are forced to maybe somewhat run the football to at least find some sort of success offensively, they run into trouble. Defensively, I think we saw what the Bills are defensively back in their loss against the Titans. When the Bills are beat up and they're bruised and they're battered by opposing teams, I think that defense can really be beat because the front isn't really overly all that physical, at least in my opinion, when they get worn down. Same could be said for a lot of other defenses around this time of the year. You know, a 17, you know, it used to be a 16-game season, now it's a 17-game season. I got an extra game. Some teams are a little bit more worn down compared to recent memory. But what in, you know, specifically when that Bills defense gets a little bit beaten up and bruised, and I think that defense can really be taken advantage of. And that's somewhat concerning for the Bills, considering that their offense hasn't been all that great over the past, maybe let's say month or so, except for that win against the Patriots on the road, which was fantastic. And it came against, like we all agreed, an elite Patriots defense. But the Bills are just sort of a mixed bag. When they're on, I think they can maybe somewhat beat anybody because they have the talent and just the grit of this football team. It's really fun to watch when they're beating teams up and they're winning. You know, it's a good vibe for the city of Buffalo when the Bills are winning. But when the Bills, you know, can run into some trouble, they can be beat by anybody. They can be, and that can be said, like I said, that can be said for any other team in this playoff field, but for the Bills especially, because they have this weird way of collapsing and breaking down when things just don't go wrong. And that doesn't spell, you know, in terms of success once we head towards the playoffs. So I want to get you guys' thoughts on the Bills.
They go as Josh Allen goes. And I know you said Josh Allen's been good, but against the Falcons, he was incredibly bad. And through three bad picks, really was only successful with his legs, had an awful completion percentage. Every now and then, old Josh Allen shows up in this new Josh Allen era, where once every 5 to 10 games, you get one performance where you're like, oh, old Josh Allen. And then you get performances like a week ago against the Patriots where he puts up one of the best quarterbacking performances of the entire season. It's just like, you know, people wonder why NFL people who follow the NFL and talk about it like this and do podcasts and stuff always pick the Packers and the Bucks and the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. It's because they have consistent quarterbacks. And I think we've talked about a lot of guys today that we believe aren't, you know, look at some of our main talking points today. Michael doesn't fully buy in that Joe Burrow can stay as hot as he's been over the past month and that can keep up consistently. Dak, there are questions about his consistency. Josh Allen, there are questions about can he avoid making stupid plays and turning the ball over and missing throws and stay in his rhythm. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones, we don't know whether he's going to be good, whether he's going to be bad. We don't know whether what's going to happen with him. Matthew Stafford, you have to avoid these doy-doy performances every now and again. Even to some extent, Ryan Tannehill, who without A.J. Brown and weapons around him has a tendency to struggle and it's had major turnover problems this year. That's six quarterbacks, and there's more that just aren't coming to the top of my head, but that's like half the playoff field that is just an inconsistent quarterback. And you could throw Kyler Murray in there too. Like he has his ups and downs. Yeah. The reason people will keep telling you it's the Chiefs, it's the Packers, it's the Buccaneers is because they have the three most consistent quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And Patrick Mahomes, what got lost in that Bengals game was how good Patrick Mahomes was.
He was real good.
Like he played his best game of the season. And if he's back and if he's good, and we've seen enough throughout his entire career that when he figures it out, he stays good usually after he struggles and figures it out, then you have a real problem in the AFC. But it all comes down to consistency of a quarterback position and how there's just none right now. I just found that really interesting that that's been the main theme of today, is how inconsistent some of these quarterbacks are. And it's really just three guys. It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Aaron Rodgers, and it's Tom Brady. And those three guys are going to give you great consistent games. And I bet you those are three of the four guys we're talking about on conference championship weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think as far as the Bills go, I do think Allen's got a little bit of Carson Wentz in him. He's like the good version of Carson Wentz, where they can do a lot of the same things. They have the huge arm. They have the ability to make plays. I think Allen's a better athlete than Wentz, but they do make the plays sometimes. And you think back to the play in the playoffs a few years ago with Josh Allen against the Texans, and he's trying to lateral the ball at midfield out of nowhere and stuff like that. And you just have those plays where it's almost just like, what is he thinking? and so he's got to avoid those. And the defense is really strange to me because they don't really have a true like sack guy. Like the guy that leads their team in sacks has five, but they lead the NFL in pressure rate. So they get around the quarterback a lot. They don't get a ton of sacks. They don't have like a guy that you're specifically worried about. But as long as they're able to do that, they can kind of hide the Tre'Davious White injury. But I do think the defense has not quite been as good in the last month or so since White went down. And their biggest Achilles heel, as you touched on, is they can get run over by power teams, by teams that will line up and run the football. The Bills can get run over. We saw the Titans do it. We saw the Patriots do it in that crazy wind rain game that they had. And so we saw the Colts do it. The Colts ran for 264 yards on this defense. So it is, and that's tough for them because they are going to see those. You know, probably they're gonna end up coming across a team that is going to be willing to run it down their throat in the playoffs. So can they get enough stops in the run game and avoid getting just smashed when they come up against those physical opponents? Because that is the issue for me with the Bills, and it has been for the last 2 years now. They're not a very physical football team. They don't run the ball. They don't stop the run particularly well. And I think it gets tougher and tougher to win relying on 17 to be Superman when it gets into the postseason and you're playing against harder defenses and you're dealing with more elements. And this is kind of an interesting thing. It's just the AFC, for whatever reason, most of the teams in the playoffs are outside teams, right? I mean, you've got the Titans, the Chiefs, the Bengals. And then regardless of who wins between Patriots and Bills, that's going to be an outdoor stadium. The only dome team that's actually going to be in the AFC playoffs, I believe, is Indy. Yeah. So they're going to have to play outside in the elements. Now, Allen's got a strong enough arm that the elements matter less to him than most quarterbacks. But I still just think the passing game is a little bit tougher in the playoffs because of the elements, because of the weather. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can line up and play bully ball against anybody, because I don't think they've proven that they can.
Yeah, you make an entirely good point. One thing about you said about the Bills not being a truly physical football team, it's weird considering Sean McDermott is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills and dating back to his days with the Carolina Panthers. You know, he was the defensive coordinator of the Panthers during those really successful times that they've had as an organization. During those times in Carolina, they did run the football well. You know, it helps when you have prime Cam Newton, but they had an allotment of guys, Jonathan Stewart included, and that defense was insanely physical as well. And of course, it helps when you have Thomas Davis, you have Luke Kuechly, you have a swagger with that defense. But this is a team that doesn't really resemble the times, or, you know, the teams that Sean Dermott, you know, was on in the past, you know, specifically the Panthers. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bills can really do in the playoffs if they really do indeed have to be physical on both sides of the ball. With that, we're done. But before we get out of here, Mike, usually me and Eric.
Well, hold on. Yeah, I do have one more. Well, there are some games this week. We don't have to go into depth on each of them, but I just want to get your opinions. Specifically, Raiders Chargers. That's the big one in the AFC. Unless the Jaguars get a win against the Colts, which it could happen, but probably not. Though the Raiders and the Chargers are going to be one of the two teams to get in, and Sunday Night Football will essentially function as a playoff game. Who do you guys have in that one?
I have the Chargers.
I'm going Chargers too. The Raiders are a good story, but I think the Chargers are the better team.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chargers have been – that's another one where Justin Herbert hasn't been inconsistent. He's actually been pretty good every week. Even when they lose, he's pretty good. But the team around him is just wildly up and down. So I'm a little bit confused. I'm going to take the Raiders here, actually. I just think they've played really well over the past month. And I think that Derek Carr can win a gritty game in. And I think Las Vegas is just going to be popping. I think that it's going to be a real home field advantage for the Raiders on Sunday night. So that's kind of my thought. Before we go, Mike, I had three rapid fire questions for you. Just off the top of your head here, who's winning the Super Bowl?
Packers.
Who's the surprise coach to get fired?
Oh, I don't know how big of a surprise it would be, but I'll go Judge.
Okay. Who's the surprise hire?
I'll say Joe Brady.
Oh, okay. Joe Brady has, I would like to point out, not been good since he left LSU. Like, been outwardly terrible at every stop he's been at. So that would not be a good move for a franchise to make, I believe.
Matt Rhule hasn't been good either. So
I will say in defense of Joe Brady that not being able to make Cam Newton and Sam Darnold look like good quarterbacks in 2021 is not a sin in my book.
Okay, that's a fair point. Spinning way forward a second, do you do a lot of draft stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
Who's one prospect that you're really excited to watch? Give me a bigger name too.
Bigger name. I guess the one that I'm most excited to get into is the Michigan, not Hutchinson, but Ajabo, the other edge rusher. I'm really excited to see him because I know he flashed a bunch late in the season. And I think this is looking like a really good edge class.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff. All right, Trey, I'll let you close it out now. I just wanted to rapid fire ask that stuff and cover our bases. So we had at least some week 18 talk. The Saints also playing to get into the playoffs as well as the 49ers. So those two games are also ones to keep an eye on. So Go ahead, Trey. Take it over.
Yeah, usually when we have guests on, we give our guests or guests usually 2 minutes just to rapid fire, just to talk about anything that's really on their mind sports-wise, or maybe not sports-wise, but I think we're going to run out of time for that, but we got some real good insight from you, Mike, so we really appreciate that. But before we actually get out of here, can you please tell anybody that's listening where they can find your work, social media, all that good stuff, man?
So as a proudly retired writer, I'm not writing anywhere currently, but you can find me on Twitter at Mike Miracles if you want to check me out there. And go check out BroadwaySportsMedia.com. That is the site that I was at last and where all my friends write. So, yeah, please go check that out. It's great, great stuff over there for anything Nashville pro sports.
We're going to pull you out of retirement one day. We're going to do it.
I'm ready.
That's it. You can find the podcast on Twitter at EndZonePod. Spread the podcast wherever you can. It's not really that hard. Just share it to your friend, whatever. We really appreciate it. I think we'll be back next week. Will we be back next week, Eric?
Yeah, back next week. We'll do, there'll be two episodes out. It'll be one recording. It's going to be a longer episode. We will talk, of course, Black Monday, all the news there. We'll talk about coaching rumors. We'll talk about who gets fired. We will also discuss the AFC and NFC wildcard rounds, and keep expecting the one podcast a week schedule throughout the playoffs. And hopefully we will get two shows out on Super Bowl week to do some kind of news recap, because there's always news that comes out of that week. So, yep, that is that's all I got, Trey. Why don't you get us out of here?
Yep. Anybody who's listening, enjoy the football this weekend. It's going to be hectic considering the playoff field isn't all that sorted out yet. So enjoy the football this weekend and keep your eye out for Black Monday, which is always a fun time for us around the NFL. So have a good day, night, whenever you're listening, and come back to listen again.